I'd like to invite our reader, Kaylee Klooster, up to read God's word for us.
Our scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.
That is the word of the Lord, and it is a blessing that we have God's word. It's a blessing that we serve a God who speaks, and it is our privilege to listen, not to me, not to my voice, but to God's word. And so let's pray and invite him to speak to our hearts now. Holy Father, we thank you that this is the special moment in our lives when we pause and open up your word, recognize it for the feast that it is. We see this meal prepared for us on your table, and we pray that we would eat well. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit, through your word, that you would make your book live to us, that we would hear it and believe it, understand it, and apply it to our lives. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you've heard it over and over again in a number of different ways. Blessing. Blessing is the theme that the Gems have taken this year. We are to live, as Christians, we are to live blessing-shaped lives, being blessed by God in order that we might be a blessing on others. Blessed to be a blessing. Well, that when I hear that, I love it. It raises the obvious question in my mind. What is a blessing, and what does it mean to be blessed? And we heard when the girls were up here, them share a definition. A blessing is anything that draws you closer to God. I love that definition. That's very helpful. I'm going to get to that definition towards the end of the sermon. I want to think about ways that the Bible uses that word bless right from the very beginning. In 2 Corinthians, we've covered a lot of Bible by the time we get to our verse, the 2 Corinthians verse, and so I want to think about what is the Bible getting at when it uses that word bless, and it uses that word over and over and over again. You find the word bless in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. You find the word bless in the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And in between Genesis 1 and Revelation 22, over 500 times, the word bless or blessing or blessed gets used in the Bible. So I want to think a little bit about how God uses that word throughout the Bible. And then where we'll land is the definition that the Gems have adopted for their theme. So the very first time we come across the word bless, God is blessing something. I had a couple Gems in my car this morning on the way to church, Lois and Haley. I gave them a little quiz. Okay, the first time the word bless is used in the Bible, who is God blessing? And they didn't know it. I'm guessing probably many of you don't either. The first thing that gets blessed in the Bible is fish and birds. God blesses the fish and the birds the first time that we find that word blessing. He tells the fish and the birds, he blesses them and then tells them to be fruitful and to increase in number and to fill the earth. He blesses them to do that, to fill the earth. So in that context, to be blessed means something like to be filled with life, to be fertile, to be fruitful, to thrive in the creation that God made. That's what a blessing is, to be fully alive and thriving and multiplying. That's blessing. A little later in the chapter, God creates man and woman, and he blesses them. And when he blesses them, he tells them something similar. He tells them, be fruitful, fill the earth. He tells them to have dominion over the fish and the birds that he had just blessed in the last paragraph. So again, the idea of blessing right at the beginning of creation, before sin has even entered into the world. The idea of blessing is that God is creating and bestowing this gift of life. Life as God intends it. Fertility upon his creation so that they can live. Not just live, but thrive and multiply and spread that blessing to future generations who can also experience and enjoy God's good creation. So right from the very beginning, blessings are not meant to be hoarded. They're not meant to be kept for ourselves. They are meant to be passed on to others and passed down through generations. And the primary focus of the blessing is to impart life. And when I say impart life, when I say blessings are all about life, I don't mean just like being alive, like not dead, like breathing. But a fullness of life. The fullness of life as God intended it, a thriving and flourishing and satisfying experience of life as God intended it to be. The goodness of life. It's a deeply joyful life of loving and worshiping God and loving one another. That's what blessing is all about from the very beginning. Living the fullness of life as God intended it. Life itself was intended as God's blessing, God's gift to us. Life is a blessing. But from there, from Genesis 1 and the creation and the blessing, things did not progress along just a straight line from blessing to blessing to blessing. Because the man and the woman who had been created in God's image and who had been blessed by God rebelled against God. And they disobeyed this particular law that God gave them to eat, to not eat from a particular tree in the garden. And the result of that was that through that action of rebellion, they introduced cursing into the world of blessing. There were consequences for their law breaking. Death now entered the picture as a curse for sin. Whereas before there was only life, there was only blessing all the time, blessing and thriving in life. Now, as a result of sin, there's a curse. And there's death. And now this good creation that God created became a mixed bag of both blessing and cursing, of both good and bad, of both joy and sorrow, both laughter and weeping. And now that Adam and Eve had compromised themselves, they had introduced sin into the world, into their hearts, God kicks them out of the garden. And we're told, we're given the reason, he kicks them out of the garden so that they won't eat from the fruit of the tree of life. Right? It just wouldn't do. It wouldn't be right to have sinful, unrighteous, rebellious people eating that fruit of the tree of life and living forever in their sin and rebellion. So he removes them from the garden so that they will not have access to the tree of life. That's what we're told in Genesis 3. Before they can eat of that tree, the tree of life, God is going to have to deal with this problem of sin. God is going to have to reverse the curse and restore the blessing. And so in some ways, the whole Bible is the story of how God is going to get this sinful, rebellious people back into a state of righteousness so that they can come back into the garden so that they can finally partake of the fruit of the tree of life. That's kind of the story of the Bible. In the beginning, because of their sin, they're denied access to the tree of life and sent out. And the whole story of the Bible is, how is God going to get them back into the garden so that they can finally eat of the tree of life? And that's why it's so powerful. We read that at the beginning. It's so powerful when we get to the very last chapter of the Bible, the end of the story, at least the end of that part of the story that the Bible's telling, and we get to Revelation 22, and it says, blessed Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to eat of the tree of life, and they may go through the gates and into the city. So that's the big narrative arc of the Bible. That's the big story of the Bible. It's a story about blessing. From beginning to end, the Bible is a story about blessing. In the beginning, God creates and he blesses. He blesses his creation with abundant life. That's his blessing, life. And he says, okay, here it is. Enjoy it. It's beautiful. Right? And don't just enjoy it for yourselves, but be fruitful and multiply and spread it. Spread this blessing, the blessing of a joyful and thriving and satisfying life. Let that just tumble down from generation to generation. And in response to that blessing, the humans in response to that blessing broke the rules, and by so doing, they broke the blessing. And they introduced pain and sorrow into God's good creation, and they got kicked out of the garden. But by the end of the story, as we just saw, God gets them back into the place of blessing, where they can finally now eat of the tree of life. So between those two bookends of the story, what's God been up to? What's God been doing during the unfolding of that story? Well, he's been blessing his people. Right? That's what God does. Apparently, God just loves to bless his people, cannot help but pour out his blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon his people. He blesses us day to day with all of these blessings as a means to bringing us to a place where we will experience eternal and unbroken blessing. And he expects that we'll follow his example as he is a God who blesses. He expects his people to be people who bless. And one of the most important places that we see that get played out is in Genesis 12. God calls Abraham, and God promises to bless Abraham so that he might be a blessing on others. So the backstory of the calling of Abram is that Abram was a pagan who worshipped idols. We're told that explicitly in the book of Joshua. And then out of nowhere, not based on anything that Abram had done personally, God comes to him and says, Abram, you know what? I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to make your name great. And the irony of that promise, if you're reading the story right through, is that in just the previous chapter, chapter 11, you hear about Noah's sons gathering together and deciding to build a great tower to the heavens in order to make their name great. And God is just disgusted by their efforts at self-exaltation. So he comes down, he smashes the tower, he disciplines them by confusing their language so that they're not able to work together anymore. And then in the next chapter, chapter 12, God comes to this unknown pagan guy and says, you know what? I'm going to make your name great. They tried to make their name great by building this awesome tower. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to use you to bless all the people of the earth. So, okay, gems, I want you to listen to the actual promise that God gives to Abram, and I want you to count the blessings, okay? Anytime you hear the word bless, blessing, blessed, just keep track of it and count it, okay? So here we go. This is what it says in Genesis 12. God is speaking to Abram, and he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How many times? You got it? Well done. Five times. In those just couple of verses, five times, God uses the word bless, or blessing, or blessed. That is important. Do you know what's going on there? Part of that is a reference back to the story of creation. And the blessing and the loss of blessing that happened in the garden. God blessed Adam and Eve. In response to the blessing, they rebelled. In response to the rebellion, God cursed and kicked them out of the garden. Now, just nine chapters later, we find God talking to this random pagan guy and saying, you know what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you so much that your offspring will become a great nation. But even more than that, I'm going to bless you so much that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. He's restoring the blessing. Do you see that? The blessing that was lost in the garden through our sin and rebellion, he's restoring it. He's saying, all is not lost. I'm not giving up on you. In fact, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring the blessing back. That's what he's saying to Abraham. So the word blessed in that context, it's such a strong word. So as we've already observed, to be blessed is about being filled with life, life as God intended it, thriving. Not just having a pulse and breathing, but experiencing the fullness of the joy that God intended for us when he created us in his image. That's what it means to be blessed, to experience the joy of life as God intended it. To be in a healthy and loving relationship with God, and to be in loving relationships with one another, and to have all of our desires satisfied, to have all of our needs met, to have no longings in our heart that are not fulfilled, to find joy in every single moment, in an unbroken and unending chain of blessing that stretches on forever. That's what it means to be blessed. And I know that sounds way too good to be true, but that's what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about blessing. It's a big word. We shouldn't reduce that word to human size. It's God's word, and it's one of God's biggest and most powerful words, blessing. It would be impossible for me to overstate how amazing and good it is to be on the receiving side of God's blessing. And we're not there yet all the way. We haven't fully received all of those blessings, but that's where we're headed. That's what his plan is for us. That's where he's taking us. So God promises to bless Abraham and through him to bless all the peoples of the earth. Now, how does that work? How can one man be a means through which all peoples, all nations are blessed? Well, you know the story. Abraham is 99 years old and he has a son, and that son has a son who has 12 sons, and those 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel, and it was through the line of one of those sons that God sent the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. It was through the line of Judah that God sent the Lion of Judah, the true king who would deliver his people from slavery and sin, who would deliver his people from the curse of death, and who would bring life, eternal life, to all the peoples of the earth. Jesus came bringing the blessing that humanity had lost in the garden because of our sin. He brought that blessing back. He's the fulfillment of God's promise to bless all the peoples of the earth through Abraham, which is exactly what the New Testament says about him. In Acts 3, the Apostle Peter is making, he's giving a sermon to a big crowd of people at the temple, and he says, and you are heirs of the prophets of the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Peter telling the people gathered in the temple, saying, look, Jesus came to bless. He came to bring the blessing that God promised to Abraham. He came to bring the blessing that we lost through our sin in the garden. Jesus brought that blessing. Paul says the same thing in Galatians. He says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Both Peter and Paul making the point that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the blessing bringer. He's the one that brought the blessing that God promised through Abraham. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we find one of the strongest statements about the blessings that Jesus brought. Paul writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Right? Every spiritual blessing that there is ours in Christ. That is amazing. What does that even mean? What does it mean for you and I to have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Well, it means that God has given us back the life that he intended us to live all along, but that got wrecked because of our sin. God has blessed us with real life, with true life, with eternal life. And that's not just referring to quantity of life, like eternal life, like lots of life, like it lasts a really long time, but it's a quality of life where we're fully satisfied in Christ and we experience his peace and his joy in all circumstances. So, but you have to remember that now, for now, we continue to live in a world that's mixed. It's fallen, and curses are mixed in with the blessings, and we experience bad things along with the good. But one day, we'll be in a place that moment by moment is a continual and unending, unbroken chain of blessing after blessing after blessing. And we don't have to sit around and brood and wait until we die and go to heaven, because God is constantly pouring out his blessings on his people here and now in this life. So for those of us in Christ, eternal life begins now. Because in Christ, we experience a real reconciled relationship with God that begins now and that stretches on to all of eternity. And anything in this life that helps us experience that, anything in this life that God uses to draw us near to him during our time here on earth, that is a blessing. Anything, this is what the gem said, anything that draws us near to God is a blessing. Now that obviously includes, and we heard them say this morning, they said it so well, that includes good things. Good things are a blessing. The pleasures of life are a blessing. Things that we want, things that we would ask for are a blessing. Good food, houses, children, soccer, coffee, music, on and on and on and on and on. The list goes. All of the joys and blessings that make life good on earth. God's given those things to us, and they are a blessing. At least they are potential blessings. They have the potential to draw us near to God if we receive them with grateful hearts as God intended it. On the way to church this morning, Haley pointed out to me, and it was a great point. She's like, yeah, but those things, they might not always be blessing, because maybe those good things cause us to take our eyes off God. Maybe if you get the job promotion and you get proud of yourself and you think you did it yourself, and it takes your eyes away from God, and then that thing that might have been a blessing ends up not being a blessing, because the most important thing is that we draw near to God, and anything that pulls us away from God is not a blessing. And I thought that was a really good point that she made. So these things, these good things, have the potential to be blessings if we allow them to bring us to God, to draw us close to God, if we receive them as the gifts that they are. But also, God can use the hard things in life to draw us closer to him, and that is a blessing too, because there's nothing better, there's nothing more important than drawing closer to God. Now, I don't mean to suggest that the bad things in and of themselves, like just take an example that's on a lot of our minds because it's affecting a lot of people here right now, cancer itself. I don't mean to suggest that cancer in and of itself is a blessing. Cancer is actually a sign that all is not right here, all is not well. But what I mean is that God can use those hard things as a means to bless us if we allow those things to draw us near to God. I hope that's a meaningful distinction. So let me share with you something that someone wrote. This is a woman, her name is Vinitha Risner, and she has learned to see, I have learned from her, as she has learned to see God's hand of blessing in all things, and even sometimes especially in hardships. And so here's what she writes. She said, "My desire for God is fueled by my need for God. I desire God to the extent that I recognize that I need him. And it is in the areas of loss and pain where I feel my need of God most intensely. And it fuels my desire for God. Unmet desires keep me on my knees and deepen my prayer life. Earthly blessings are temporary. and they can all be taken away. Job's blessings all disappeared in one fateful day. I, too, had a comfortable life that was stripped away within a span of weeks. My marriage dissolved. My children rebelled. My health spiraled downward, and my family fell apart, and all of my dreams were shattered. And yet, and this is such an important and yet, in the midst of all of those painful events, events that we wouldn't wish on anyone, I experienced God's richest blessings. A stronger faith than I had ever experienced before, a deeper love than I had ever known before, a more intimate walk with God than I could ever explain with words. My trials grounded my faith in ways that prosperity and abundance never could and never did. And while my trials were not blessings in and of themselves, they were truly channels for God to bless me. See, that's what we're getting at here. In the Bible, blessings are not just all the good things in life, although the good things in life can be a blessing and are a blessing if we receive them the right way. But in the Bible, blessings are anything that draws us near to God. That's true blessing. In fact, in the New Testament, the word blessing, it never, ever refers to material prosperity. It never refers to everything going right in life. It never refers to perfect circumstances. Right, listen to some of these blessing verses in the New Testament. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Blessed is the person who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So even though we wouldn't ask for them, hard and difficult things in our lives sometimes become the channel for the greatest blessings because God uses those in a powerful way to draw us near to him, and there is no greater blessing than that. Okay, so to be blessed of God, the message throughout the Bible is to be blessed of God is to experience life as God intended it. He meant for life to be a blessing, just this thriving and joyfully living life as God intended it, loving God and loving others, experiencing the joy and peace that comes along with that, and being fruitful and multiplying and spreading the blessing. And when God gives us these blessings, whether they're blessings in the form of the good things that we love to receive, that we enjoy receiving, or whether they're blessings in the form of hard things that draw us near to God, when God gives us these blessings, he expects that we'll be generous with them, that we'll use these blessings to bless others. And so I just want to close with this illustration to remind us of how this works, that we are blessed in order to be a blessing. The illustration is, it happened when I was 5 years old. It was Christmas time, I'm five, I have zero money, I have zero income, but I got to buy Christmas presents for my two brothers and my parents. And I don't know what I'm going to do, and my mom, there's going to be a Christmas market at school to buy presents for your family, but I don't have any money at all. I don't know why I didn't get an allowance. I certainly deserved it, but for some reason, I don't know. So I don't have any money. So I explain the situation to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I want to buy presents for Christmas, but I don't have any money. So he pulls out his wallet, and he gives me money. He says, okay. You go to the Christmas market, you take this money, I'm going to give it to you, you take this money, and you go and you buy presents for the family. So I take the money, I go to the Christmas market, and here's how they set up this market. I don't know why they do it this way, but like, there's all kinds of tables full of all kinds of stuff that a five-year-old boy would want. And then there's like a few tables set up that he might want to get gifts for his mom or for his parents, right? It's like they're just trying to sell toys to kids. And so here I am, on my own, dropped off there, 5 years old. I don't remember exactly. I think it was a lot of money. I think my dad gave me like $20, which is more money than I ever had in my life. And I got all of these options of stuff that I can buy that I want. So, you know, I see it. I see the lightsaber that would be so cool to have. And I see the remote control car. And I realize I could probably buy it. And I might have like 50 cents left over for each of my brothers. But I don't know why, but that day, I had self-discipline. And I walked past those tables. And I went to the tables that were more kind of themed towards something you might want to get for your parents. And there was this like necklace area that kids could buy for their mom. And I saw this gold necklace with a butterfly on it. And I was like, oh, my mom would love that. It would look beautiful on her. And I was sure that it was pure gold. I just knew it was. I don't know why it was $5, but so I bought it. And I was so proud that I had got that for my mom. And I got other gifts, too, for my brothers and my dad. I honestly don't remember what I got for them, but this necklace was like the highlight. And so I brought it home. I wrapped it up. I was so excited. I on Christmas morning, I got it. I ran. I gave it to my mom. I handed it up. This is for you. I bought this for you. Bursting with excitement. I didn't even care about the presents I was receiving. I was so excited to give my mom this pure gold butterfly necklace. And I gave it to her, and she opened it, and she just loved it. She started crying. She put it on. If my mom comes and visits, talk to her. She still wears the gold butterfly necklace. It's all like tarnished now. Turns out it wasn't pure gold, but she loves it, and she still wears it. That moment has become like this moment that we bring up around Christmas time. So I was bursting because I had bought that necklace with my money. I had been so generous with my money and bought that necklace for her. But what I didn't realize is, you know what? It wasn't even my money to begin with. I didn't earn that money. I didn't work for that money. It wasn't my money. My dad gave me that money so that I could bless other people. That's what it's like with you and I for our blessing, right? We don't create blessing inside of ourselves and then go and bless others. We don't bless other people in our own strength. We don't bless other people because we're so great and lovely and wonderful and look how great we are and now we can pass that on. We bless other people because God has blessed us. That's where we get the inventory. That's where we get the stuff of blessing. It's like every morning, here's what you can do. Every morning, do this literally. I'll encourage you, our gems. Wake up in the morning, cup your hands like this, just do it, and say, God, I'm ready to receive. And let God pour his blessing into your hands. First thing in the morning. He loves to bless. He loves it. And then now you've got the blessing, right? And what are you going to do with it? Now you go out on your day, you got it, and you're ready to give it away. You're ready to be a blessing. We are blessed in order that we might be a blessing. That's what God is like. He loves to bless, and that's what he expects that his children will be like, people who are blessed and who love to bless. I love it that you took that as your theme this year. I see you living that out. I see, even just in the pictures we saw during the offering, ways that you have blessed others through your ministry and through your lives, and I pray that you would continue to do that. So let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for our gems, for the women who lead and mentor in that program, and for the girls who participate in that program. We thank you. It's so important that these girls are being able to be in this context where they can build friendships with one another, where they can learn from godly women, where they can study your word together, where they can be shaped by the power of your Spirit. I thank you for this year and the way that they've focused on being a blessing, and the way that they've emphasized that they are blessed in order to bless others. I thank you for the definition you've given them about how a blessing is anything that draws us near to you. And I pray that you would draw them near to you. And I pray for each one of these girls that you would use their lives in powerful and unique ways in order to be a blessing on those around them. In Christ's name, amen.